Welcome to the Two Brothers and Their Sports Podcast. I'm your co-host, Arif.
And I'm your other co-host, Darsh.
And today on the show, we have two topics to get to. We're going to start off by discussing the NBA play-in tournament and the first round of games that we think will take place after those eight seeds are decided. And then we're also going to be doing an NFL mock draft of the first five picks in the 2024 NFL draft. It's still a ways away, but it's going to be really important coming up in the future. And also, one quick note, make sure to check out our new book on Amazon, The Blueprint to Winning: Advice from the Pros on Overcoming Adversity. It's available on Amazon and it's a really great read for all ages. So make sure you guys go check that out. But Arsh, let's get started with the NBA play-in. Who do you have getting the eighth seed in the East and West?
Yeah, I think starting in the Western Conference, it's pretty crazy. The Warriors already got eliminated. They just won. I know they're the 10th seed, but they already got eliminated. We're just the NBA Finals champions 2 years ago, and they're already out of contention. They've been eliminated. They can't even make it any further. So that's already been crazy. And then the Lakers with LeBron, they've already made it through to the next round, which leaves the Pelicans, who went 49-33, and then the Kings, who went 46-36, playing tonight to see who can win and make it to the next round. I think that this one is going to the Pelicans. I think the Kings are a great team, but when it comes down to it, the Pelicans have a better record and played better throughout the season. I was surprised when they lost to the Lakers. I know that the Lakers are a pretty good team, but the Pelicans came into this as a 7 seed, looking to just shoo into the playoffs with just one win. They could afford two losses. They surprisingly lost to the Lakers, and now the Kings have a chance to knock them out of the playoffs. But I think that the Kings are going to actually lose this game. I think the Pelicans are going to come out on top, and we're going to have a clean 1 through 8 seeding for the Western bracket. No surprises from the play-in tournament.
Yeah, I'm going to disagree here. I'm going to go with the Sacramento Kings. I think Domantas Sabonis and this incredible Kings team are going to be able to win over the New Orleans Pelicans. I know you talked about it, that Zion Williamson might not be at 100%, or if he might not be playing, I'm not exactly sure at this time. But I know that that could be a problem for the Pelicans going into this game. Now, I know that they're a great team. I know they have great defense. With Herb Jones, and then obviously Trey Murphy really playing well, and then Zion Williamson as well, and Brandon Ingram. But I think that the Kings and Domantas Sabonis are really going to be able to take this game over. I know they're the 9 seed. They have a lot of confidence beating the 10 seed Warriors, even though they're the 10 seed. They were the defending champions, or 2 years ago they were champions. So they had a lot at stake, and they ended up losing to the Kings. So I think they're riding this game with a lot of momentum going into the first round of the NBA playoffs. So I'm going to pick the Kings to make it to play the OKC Thunder. And then moving to the East, Arsh, I'll let you take that away first.
Yeah, so this is also a pretty interesting bracket for this side. I think it's been pretty crazy so far. The 76ers beat the Heat and advanced to the actual playoffs. And then the Hawks with Trae Young didn't come out on top. They lost to the Bulls in the play-in. So it's the 8v9. It's the Heat versus the Bulls. And I'm actually going to go with the Heat here as well. I don't think there's going to be an upset here as well in the play-in. I mean, the Bulls were 39-43. They were 4 games under. They had a 4-game losing record, while the Heat were 46-36, a 10-game winning record. The difference between these two teams is immense, and it's because the Heat are a much better team. I know they're without Jimmy Butler, but I still think that their team is this great for a reason. Tyler Hero's there. Duncan Robinson didn't have a great first game, but I think that he's going to have a big bounce back game. Bam Adebayo, they just have way more pieces than this Bull team has. DeMar DeRozan hasn't been great. None of their players have been spectacular so far. No guys that I think are going to explode for 40, 50 points and help carry this team, which is what you're going to need to beat this very just well-built Heat team with one of the best coaches in the NBA. So I think that the Heat are going to advance in this win-or-go-home game. I think they're going to advance and make it to the actual playoffs.
Yeah, I'm going to disagree with you here as well. I think you hit the nail on the head when you said Jimmy Butler's hurt. And I think that is the biggest factor with the MCL injury that just took place recently. I think that's obviously a very big loss for the Heat. No playoff Jimmy, no really elevated Heat team, no threat for the Celtics going into round one of the NBA playoffs. So I don't think it's going to be the Heat. I know they have Bam Adebayo. I know they have Duncan Robinson, probably one of the top three shooters in the NBA this season. But I'm still going to go go with the Chicago Bulls. I know there are four games under 500, but and I know they suffered a couple losses towards the end of the season, but this is a very good Bulls team. They're very young, they have a lot to play for, and they have a leg up at this point in this game because the Miami Heat are without their biggest player, the guy that they rely on, especially during this time of the year. So I'm going to go with the Chicago Bulls to make it to the next round. And with that finalizes our NBA round one tournament and all the seeding. So Arsh, I'll let you take it away from the Western Conference 1v8, and then I guess we'll just go down from there.
Yeah, so starting in the Western Conference, for me, it's going to be OKC against the Pelicans. I'm taking OKC in six. I think OKC is going to win this game, this series. They're the number one seed for a reason. SGA is playing out of his mind right now, averaging, I think, almost, if not above, tw 30 points per game. He's been an absolute gem for them. They have Jalen Williams, both Jalen Williams, but Jalen Williams, the best one right now, is playing amazing. Chet has been a great rookie this year after his horrible and injury last year, so he never got the season. I think they're just playing too well to lose this game. They're the number one seed in their first time back to the playoffs in a while for a reason, because they're that good of a team. I don't think they're losing it against the Pelicans, especially against an injured Zion if he ends up being able to suit up, and Brandon Ingram. So I'm taking OKC in six, and then the second out of four series would be the Clippers versus the Mavericks. I think this is going to be a great series, but I'm going to have to go Mavericks here, which is the lower seed. It's a 4v5. I think that the Mavs are going to win off the back of Luka Doncic. He's been one of the best players in the NBA this year, not getting as much credit as he deserves for the MVP award. Arguably one of the greatest seasons in NBA history, and maybe he might not win the MVP award. He's in contention with a bunch of other great players, but he has definitely had the best season. If you look at everything encompassing everything, he's been amazing, and I think that's going to continue. He's finally going to get this Mavericks team to make a deeper run than they have normally been able to make. And I think that they're going to beat this very, very star-studded Clippers team and advance to the next round.
Yep, I'm going to start with the Thunder Kings for me instead of the Pelicans, and I have the Thunder winning this game. Again, the Thunder, very young team led by SGA, who should have been an all-star starter, was not, or he was, but he should have been an all-star starter last year. He's been playing at a very high level for the past 2 years. He's a great leader for them, and they have J-Dub, like you talked about, and a great offensive and defensive rotation in Chet Holmgren. So I think that the Thunder are going to advance easily. I say five games for that. And then Clippers Mavericks, again, one of the bigger rivalries come playoff time. And I am going to go with the Dallas Mavericks. I think the X factor in this game, in this series actually, is going to be Kyrie Irving. How much of the younger Kyrie are we going to see? This might be the best duo in the NBA currently, Kyrie and Luka Doncic. But again, you talked about it. Kawhi Leonard's a lockdown defender and incredible scorer. Paul George, James Harden, Russell Westbrook. This is an incredible Clippers team that all have playoff experience and have made deep runs before. I am going to go with the Mavericks, however. I think that this tandem of Irving and Doncic is going to be good enough to get them past. And then after that, we move on to the Timberwolves Suns. I'm going to go with the Timberwolves. I think we know how great Ant has been this year, posting a really highlight-worthy season throughout. Like game after game, a highlight every play at least. That was on the SportsCenter top 10. And then Karl-Anthony Towns had two 60-point games this year, or 50-point games this year, sorry. And he's really played well. They're 56 and 26. They were in contention for the one seed. So playing the Suns is pretty good for them. I'm gonna go with the Timberwolves and then the Nuggets Lakers. I'm gonna go with the Nuggets and Nikola Jokic. I just think the defending champs, this is too early for them to lose.
Yeah, and then I'm gonna go with the third series, the Timberwolves versus the Suns. I think this is gonna be a very, very good series. You look at the Timberwolves, they have one of the best, if not the best, shooting center in the league in Karl-Anthony Towns. A guy that's able to score in the paint, but also has one of the best shooting touches out of anyone in the league this year. So he's been great. That you obviously mentioned Ant Edwards, who's also been very, very electric. He thinks he's going to be one of the better shooters in the league in the next couple of years, and he's just taken steps that we've rarely seen a player be able to transcend this fast. Play like such greats. I mean, he's been compared to Michael Jordan numerous times. It's because his play is just like that. He has the electricity that MJ had, and he has better shooting, and he's just a very good all-around player. And then you look at the Suns, and they have a star-studded team that has not been able to make it come together this year. They have one of the best rosters in the NBA on paper. It's literally like a 2K My Team team where you literally just trade for any players that you want for really cheap, or you just get all the dream. You get the dream team on your team. It's what they did. They've got Bradley Beal, they've got Kevin Durant and Devin Booker, and they still have other great pieces around them. And yet they haven't been able to have the success that they needed to. But I think that they are going to win this series. It's going to be a very long and hard-fought series. I think this series is going to go to 7 games, and I think that it could game seven could go either way. I think it could even either go the Timberwolves' way with Anthony Edwards or Karl-Anthony Towns playing out of their minds, or it could be the Suns go the Suns' way, and they could actually get some proper play off their bench. I just think that this is going to be the best series in round one at least. In this year's NBA playoffs. So I think that this is going to be a very good series. Goes to seven, but goes to the Suns. And then the last series, is the Nuggets versus Lakers. And I'm picking the Lakers here. I know this is
Wow.
crazy, but I think that LeBron has enough left in him that he can make one more deep run. After this, I don't know what's going to happen, but he can make one more deep run, and I think that he is going to play out of his mind. Multiple 40-point games. AD is going to play a very he's going to play very well. Austin Reaves is going to show back up in the playoffs like he had been a couple years ago. D'Angelo Russell hasn't slowed down since the trade deadline. Russell, which is now his new nickname, trade deadline D'Angelo Russell, how well he's been playing. They have a very good roster with guys that might be unconventional, but are still good enough to beat a team like this. They've got gritty guys that are going to get down on the floor and really hustle for every single play. So I think that this is going to be the team. If there's going to be a team that beats the Nuggets, I think that the Lakers are a very good team to do so. So I have the Lakers winning this series in six. They knock out Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic, and they advance to the next round where they'll play the Suns.
And with that, we'll move on to the Eastern Conference. And the first game is the Celtics versus Bulls, my Boston Celtics. And I have them winning. I think this is pretty much a no-brainer. They're 64 and 18, posted one of the best records in NBA history. Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and Kristaps Porzingis, as well as Derek White and Jrue Holiday, have played really, really great as a team. They're a very deep team. Peyton Pritchard is giving them very good minutes and scoring the ball very well. I mean, this is a very well-rounded team. Pretty much can do anything. Not to mention Rob Williams as well. So I think the Celtics have a pretty easy win against the Bulls in round one. And then the second game is the Cavaliers versus Mavs. I have Donovan Mitchell and the Cavaliers winning. I know that Donovan Mitchell, many people said, should have been in contention for the was like one of the top seven players in the Eastern Conference for the All-Star game. He has really taken the league by storm since his trade to the Cavaliers. I think that this is totally his game. I think this is totally his series. I think he finally gets a chance to take over against a team that has been good, but it's very good competition, and I think he's going to get it done. So I have Donovan Mitchell and the Cavaliers advancing.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with the Celtics as well. I think Celtics in five. I have them against the Heat, but like you said, they don't have Jimmy Butler in a multiple game series. Now, this is a difference. In a one game elimination go win or go home, I think they can beat the Bulls. But when you talk about it a full round, I don't think that they can beat a team that had one of the best records in NBA history without their star player. So in that case, you are right about them not having their star player, just not in the play-in, in my opinion. So I do think that the Celtics win in five. I think they do take one game. But going to the next series, the Cavs versus the Magic, it's surprising to see the Magic play this well this year. But I do think that the Cavs are going to win as well. I think they win in six. It could be five, could even be a sweep. But I think it's 5 or 6 games. I got Donovan Mitchell going for 30 plus multiple games. He's going to be electric as well. He is very, very underrated still. Since he was on the Jazz, since he made it here, he's been underrated. And I think that he's going to play very well in this series and advance to play the Celtics. And then the last two series that we're going to cover are Milwaukee Bucks versus the Pacers, and then the Knicks, who had the 2 seed, versus the 76ers. So I think for the third series, that's the Bucks versus the Pacers. Give me the Bucks. I think Giannis is going to play pretty great. They're gonna be hard to beat, especially against the Pacers team that doesn't have their great stars yet. Haliburton has been good. He's been pretty great, but he's not a one-man show that can beat Giannis. So I'm going with the Bucks. I think this probably will be a sweep. I could definitely see a sweep. And then the final series will be the Knicks and 76ers. I know a lot of Knicks fans that were very excited with the team this year, and for good reason. They don't have a ton of crazy stars, but they have Jalen Brunson, who's playing like he's one of the best players in the NBA. I mean, it's crazy how great he's been. Imagine if he stayed with the Mavericks. He's been amazing. And then the 76ers, who don't have Joel Embiid still. I'm going with the Knicks in this game, in this series. I think that they're going to win pretty sure-handedly. Probably four, if five, maximum games. And I think the Knicks are going to take this game and advance to the next round to play the Bucks.
Yeah, I have the Bucks winning in the first game you talked about. I think Damian Lillard and Giannis are just such a great team, such a great duo. I think this is a really well-rounded team with Chris Middleton. I think they're going to be able to score the ball well and definitely play good defense, or play relatively good defense in terms of the weapons that they have on offense and how they built mainly on the offensive side of the ball. So I have them beating the Pacers. And then second, you talked about it, the Knicks versus 76ers. I am going to agree with you and say the Knicks win this game. I mean, look, they are a really great team, and when their team is fully healthy, OG Isaiah Hartenstein has really came on, and the Knicks have really fully embraced it. He's been one of the best players, plus minus, and in general, defensive players, and willing to do everything without the ball in his hands. He's just such a great player. So both of them, and then obviously you talked about Jalen Brunson, who really leads this team. I think this is going to be a really, really great and scary team. I know there's talks about Joel Embiid potentially coming back, but I still have the Knicks winning. So that's our complete NBA round one predictions. Let us know what you guys think, and now we'll move on to the NFL side of things, starting with a mock draft. And I guess the question that the pretty much no-brainer, the only no-brainer in this class is who is going number one overall to the Chicago Bears? And for me, it's going to be Caleb Williams, from USC. Again, such a great quarterback. And if you look at talent, he is the best number one player across the board, but especially the number one quarterback. I think this is easily an easy pick for the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, so for the number one pick, I agree with you here. I think Caleb Williams, he has some flaws to his game, but he also resembles Patrick Mahomes at many times. Has the chance to be a great in the NFL. I think that the Bears are going to get a great one. They obviously signed DeAndre Swift, traded for Keenan Allen, got DJ Moore as well, have the number one pick in this year's draft. If they can get a great quarterback here, they're going to be very good in the years to come. Like, very good. This will be one of the best turnarounds I've ever seen a team make. So I think that Caleb Williams is going to be the pick for them. They've got to get this right. And then number two is the Washington Commanders. Sam Howell is traded. They're looking for a quarterback. That's really the only move that they're going to make. The question here is J.J. McCarthy, maybe. Michael Penix, not really. Jaden Daniels or Drake May? And
Yep.
I think that this is going to be a very tough decision for them. They've had flashes of both quarterbacks in their past, going back 2 decades. They've had both types of quarterbacks, a more scrambler type, a better thrower type. And I think that this is going to be a tough pick for them. But it really depends on whoever they liked and the combine, whoever they liked in workouts, the IQ tests that they would give them, the interviews, everything like that. But I think that in the end, they are going to select Drake May. I think Drake May is going to be the new quarterback for them. He's got a great arm. He has a ton of potential too. Not Caleb Williams' potential that we've seen so far, but he has a ton of potential. Has great accuracy, needs to work on his arm a little bit, but has great accuracy, great poise, can scramble just like a lot of other quarterbacks in this class. He is going to be a great pick for the Commanders and a guy that I won't really like going up against against the Commanders as a Cowboys fan, and also keeping with the style of a UNC quarterback, going straight from Sam Howell to Drake May. I think the Commanders select another UNC quarterback.
Yeah, I disagree here. I'm gonna go with Jaden Daniels. I think if you're thinking hopeful, you're thinking Drake May, but I don't really think that's gonna happen. I think Jaden Daniels here is the more realistic pick. I think Drake May fits the Washington Commanders system a lot better. I mean, it's a pocket pass or a guy that can deliver the ball to Dyami Brown, to Terry McLaurin, obviously, and to these in this incredible the pretty good weapons that they have, including Austin Eckler. I don't think that they want to take anything away from a huge signing in adding a running quarterback. So I mean, in adding, they would want to help him by using by utilizing a receiver that can catch the ball well, can play out of the backfield and run the ball. But I think realistically, it's going to be Jaden Daniels, who really the buzz has just exploded around him recently, with after him winning the Heisman, after him playing well towards the end of the year. I mean, this has just been a really great quarterback who played well for LSU, and then also he did not go to the combine, but I think that this is going to be a really good pick for them. I'd rather Drake May though. And then number three, I think this is where the Patriots go, Drake May. I think this is going to be a really, really dream scenario for them. In my opinion, I think Drake May is just Mac Jones, but a lot better. He can throw the ball further. He's more accurate. He's more decisive. He's basically an upgraded version of Mac Jones. And if you want to move on from him, Drake May is the guy to do it. He can throw the ball well, like I said. He's very accurate. He makes great decisions, and he really fits this Patriots offense as well. I know they don't have great wide receivers, but they have Ramondre Stevenson. They have Zeke to pound the rock. I think that Drake May would just be very supported by a pretty good coach coming in from the lot from the Patriots assistant, and then also an incredible perennial top 10 defense in the NFL. So I think Drake May goes here, but I'd rather him go to the Commanders.
Yeah, I think this is where Jaden Daniels goes. I know you talked a lot about how great he's been, how great of a quarterback he is, how he just won the Heisman because he just played so amazing this past year. And I think that this is the pick where the Patriots need a restart. They're not going to go another year without a quarterback, especially when they're this high in the draft. Even though Marvin Harrison, Malik Nabers are both on the board, Roma Dunze, who is a great talent as well. Just on the offensive side, they're not going to pass up on another quarterback, especially when the Heisman winner, is sitting right there. I think they're taking Jaden Daniels number three. And then number four is the Cardinals, and here is where I think receivers are going to go now for four and five. And I think this is really not going to. Roma Dunze is very good. He's not going to be in contention for this first pick. It's going to either be Marvin Harrison Jr. or Malik Nabers, and I'm going to go Malik Nabers. I think Marvin Harrison Jr. had a very, very good campaign last year. This year he was great. He wasn't perfect. And he wasn't as good as Malik Nabers in my eyes. He had a great quarterback. I know Malik also had Jaden Daniels, but Malik Nabers was the premier threat for LSU, and he still was able to play very, very well against all with all that attention. And just is a better talent in my eyes than Marvin Harrison Jr. I know Marvin Harrison also was kind of that guy for Ohio State, but I just see the potential that Malik Nabers has, and I just think that he will be a better pick, or at least the pick that is going to be made here by the Cardinals. If you want a guy that's safer, then maybe you would pick Marvin Harrison, but they're both very, very similar players, and both are very, very good picks in this case. I don't think either one's going to be the wrong pick, but I do think that the Cardinals will go Malik Nabers in this pick from LSU. That's just the guy that they like based off of my eye test.
Yeah, I disagree. I'm going to go with Marvin Harrison Jr. I mean, this guy has taken the college football by storm 2 years ago, was probably close to the number one receiver in college football as a sophomore. This year, he was a junior and played very well. I just don't think he met those standards that he set for himself 2 years ago. I mean, he was just an incredible receiver. And obviously, there was a downgrade at quarterback for Ohio State. And I know you talked about Malik Nabers. If you really look at it from the outside in, any draft besides a one with Marvin Harrison, Malik Nabers is the consensus number one wide receiver. But with a draft with Marvin Harrison Jr., with you knowing his ceiling, and he didn't hit that this year, if you get him a good quarterback like Kyler Murray that's willing to throw the ball and doesn't get injured, I think this is Marvin Harrison Jr. season all day. I'm going no trades there. I'm going to continue with the Los Angeles Chargers selecting Joe Alt, the offensive tackle from Notre Dame. Notre Dame is just a production center for offensive linemen. And I think the question here is between him or Fashanu, the tackle from Penn State. And that has really become more of a question recently, but I'm going to continue with the Notre Dame narrative. You can pretty much trust any Notre Dame tackle that's being projected to be taken this high. And so I'm going to continue. The Vikings don't move up to select JJ McCarthy or even Michael Penix. So I'm going to continue with the narrative that protect Justin Herbert coming into this upcoming year. I think him and Quentin Johnson need to develop that connection, and that requires a good tackle. So I'm going to go with Joe Alt here.
Yeah, so I think that for my final pick, I really do think that the Chargers could move down a couple slots and still get a tackle that it would be very, very good for Justin Herbert. I think in this case, the Vikings will swoop in. They're going to trade up for number five. They have no quarterback right now, really, and a guy that they really could be using and utilizing. And there are still a ton of great quarterbacks on the board. Yes, maybe they could get JJ McCarthy or Michael Penix later. So I could see them just staying there, being content with either of those guys. But I do think that they are going to move up for one of their guys. And I do think that that guy is going to be Michael Penix. I know it's a bit more of a reach.
Wow.
than a lot of people are thinking, but the fact is that they are both very, very good quarterbacks that both have the same amount of risk and the same amount of potential in my eyes. I've seen both of them play very, very good, and I've seen both of them play pretty poorly, and both have a ton of raw potential that needs to be tapped. So whether you pick JJ McCarthy, who had one of the best offenses in the league this year, didn't have a great national championship game, but still won, proved that he's a winner, that he's a guy that's a leader in your locker room, or you care about a guy that's going to make plays, the guy that carried Washington. I know they had a great wide receiving attack too, but really the guy that you wouldn't have made it to the national championship, you wouldn't have been one of the best teams in college football without this guy, and that's Michael Penix. So I do think that they're going to take Michael Penix here, another lefty quarterback that hasn't been selected in a while, actually. There hasn't been a lefty quarterback that's been great, but I think that Michael Penix could change the narrative. And him throwing to a guy like Jordan Addison, I mean, it's going to be revolutionary. And TJ Hawkinson at tight end, they are going to be a very, very good team. They need a quarterback, and now's the time to make that move. Even though all the great quarterbacks are gone, you know those first three teams are taking quarterbacks. Why not trade up to get your pick at the fourth best guy? So I think they are going to trade up, go for Michael Penix here, and close out the top five. And for me, I have four quarterbacks taken in the top five and one wide receiver. And Marvin Harrison isn't off the board after top five.